Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so very much, Dave Solomon. Oh, it's always so good to hear that voice, I'm telling you. And especially on days like today where the sun is shining, I'm telling you, nobody can believe in Baltimore, Maryland, it is close to 90 degrees. We have gone from winter, a little bit of spring, and now we've got summer. But you know what? Summer's truly in the house because we have an astounding guest with us. I'm telling you, every single time that Grace Kelly comes to visit, it's always like the best time of year, no joke. There's just so much excitement in the air. There's something to say. There's always new music. And there's just a little bit of an added treat to give us each time. Saxophonist, singer, composer, arranger, producer, educator, and Kickstarter campaigner. Ladies and gentlemen, the almost 22-year-old, fabulous Grace Kelly. Woohoo!
Hi!
Hey, how are you, Grace?
I am good and doing even better now. I'm so excited that I just had to call in a minute early.
I'm so glad that you did because we have to let people know we were set for the next hour, but Grace called in early and I'm just going to take her whenever she can have time to speak to us because this is so exciting. This is another chapter in your life.
Yes, it is. And I'm so glad that you've been on board. Thank you so much for your support. And, yes, it's very exciting. I've just launched my very first Kickstarter.
Grace, and I have to say, when you go to your page on Facebook, you can hear basically the synopsis of what's going on with the Kickstarter. But you just sent me a couple of tracks, and this is... Oh, from my heart, you know it is. You sound so comfortable spreading your wings and flying.
Oh,
you
thank
do.
Thank you so much. That's so nice to hear.
Well,
wow.
You know what? It reminds me of, and I'm not sure when the whole cool jazz or lounge vibe came to be, but it's very reminiscent to a degree of what Putmeo has in their collection of the best of European sounds. And then you worked with a gentleman who Huey Lewis connected you to. He found something in you that just made you sound even more joyful than usual.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'll tell folks this story because it's actually a pretty interesting one of how I got to meet Stuart Levine, who produced this EP with his son, Sonny Levine. So basically, this was, almost 4 years ago, or maybe it was five, that I first met Huey Lewis. I was playing with one of my blues mentors, James Montgomery, at the House of Blues in Boston, and we were doing a tribute to the blues legend James Cotton. And there were all these amazing guests, and one of them was Huey Lewis. So we got to perform together. He is the nicest person. He's such a great musician, and we started hanging out. I found out that he lived in Montana for part of the year. And after the concert was over, I said to him, I'm actually headed to Montana soon to play a house concert. And, you know, I figured that he wouldn't be able to come, but I just said, you know, here's the information. Anyways, fast forward, it's the day of the house concert. Huey shows up. He eats dinner with me and my dad beforehand. I mean, this guy is so incredibly nice and generous. And before I had met him, I was doing a lot of research about producers and looking up names and seeing who I'd want to work with. Because up to this point, I've produced all of my own stuff, and I knew I needed someone to help take it to the next level. So I fell in love with Jamie Cullum's first album when it first came out. Yeah, it's just great. It's this beautiful cross of pop jazz. I opened for Jamie a few years ago, and I just love the album. I saw that the person who produced it was Stuart Levine. I looked into the other albums he produced. Man, everybody from B.B. King, David Sanborn, Minnie Riperton, Sly and the Family Stone. The list is so long. Joe Cocker. And I also found, like, the very first Sanborn record I ever had was the one he produced. So there was a lot of kind of synchronicities. And he had also produced one of Huey Lewis's. So I was just asking him about Stewart. And Huey said, oh, man, I have to connect you guys. You guys would be perfect working together. Stewart's actually a saxophonist. And he went to Manhattan School of Music when he was 17, along with, like, Herbie Hancock and all these amazing people. Hugh Masekela, they were roommates, and he produced Hugh's Grazing in the Grass.
Oh, my gosh!
Yeah, and he's a real jazz lover, but he's produced pop albums. So he would call me the next morning and said, Stewart wants to talk to you. And he's become a mentor of mine. I used to just send him demos, you know, and he would write back and give me some critiques. And I kept asking him. I must have asked him like 3 times if he'd produce me. And he said, no, you're not ready. You're not ready.
Really?
Anyway, I moved out to L.A. last year. And he's like, okay, let's do this. And so I've been working with him. His son, Sonny Levine, is an amazing producer and songwriter who's working with lots of great artists. And he's been the one in the studio with me, like, making beats and turning knobs. And so it's very exciting for me because finally this has been a dream of mine to work with him, and it's actually, it's happened. So that was it.
And you know what? I'm very mindful of what Stewart has said about you, which is that he almost finds you to be a miraculous find in that you are, Grace, I mean, I have to mention this. I know it's probably annoying to you that people point out that you're 21 years old, soon to be 22.
Yes.
But you really have lived so much life. You started very early, and you've done a number of things that most people twice your age haven't done. So for somebody who is a producer like this, who gets so much about you, and then to say that you pick up incredibly well. He feels as though you are this gift to the world. That's major.
Yes, thank you. I when I was putting together that video clip and that people can see on the Kickstarter, and he said something as genuine and sincere that he said, which if you know him at all, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. And so it really means a lot to me. And just to hang out in his company, and like you were saying, I've just been blessed to have so many mentors in music. I mean, from Stewart, but also like in jazz and in bebop, Phil Woods, and then the great Lee Konitz, it's also saxophonist legend. And it's,
yes.
Nobody has to do what they do. Their generosity is unbelievable, and I feel truly, truly lucky.
Well, it's really no surprise because, you know, you were groomed, not that anyone was putting any pressure on you when you were little, but you just gravitated to what you wanted to do early on. I mean,
yeah.
You're on piano at 6, you loved theater, you loved dancing, you loved singing, and
yes.
This is probably... Boy, this could be dangerous territory right now, but it's probably a little difficult for some who saw you early on. It might be a little challenging for them to see what direction that you're taking, but this is what was designed for you when you were a little girl. You loved all of it.
That's so true. It is. And, when I was 6 years old, I was singing, acting, and dancing. I was obsessed with show tunes, and I wanted to become a Broadway actress. And that was before I found, that was my first, dream before I found the saxophone. And then everything changed the path when I found saxophone because it kind of naturally lended itself to jazz. And my first teacher is a wonderful jazz musician. But you're totally right, Trish. I grew up with not only jazz and listening to Stan Getz, but I was listening to James Taylor. My parents were playing the Beatles. They were also playing classical music, show tunes. And I love wearing many different hats. I love from going to saxophonist to singer to a composer. It really, I have so much fun with it, and I feel like all of those things together make up who I am.
Oh, for sure. You know, Grace, I was talking to a gal who is in our region, Baltimore, Washington area, and she is about your age, and she said, Trish, it's really difficult for me to try to explain to my friends my background in jazz. She said, because when we were growing up, she said, my friends weren't necessarily given the musical diet that I was given.
Right.
So to try to get them to comprehend what I'm doing, they're looking at me as if I'm from a different planet. So, you know, you can relate to that, Grace, because, you were blessed to have a dad and a mom who were playing Stan Getz on Sundays, and you gravitated to that. But a lot of folks of your generation are focused on beats and different kinds of music. So you have this wide range of dietary needs that you want to get out there. It's only natural.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's kind of funny. I feel like lately, I mean, I spent so much time listening to great jazz music, and there's so many amazing recordings that it's going to be a journey forever. But I've been catching up on, like, bands recently because I feel like I'm kind of catching up to 2014. I listen to the music on the radio and really enjoy some of it, but there's so many great bands, and I was excited to hear you say that you think it has a bit of a European sound, because I have been gravitated to listening to some more, like, Scandinavian artists, and I love, like, these bands. There's a group called Quadrin, and there's a group called Rye, and out of Europe, and there's a really cool sound that's happening there, so it's exciting that music is such an international thing. We have access to all of it. And, I put on my music, and I'm always discovering new artists, which are inspiring me.
Well, I have to keep up with this because my son is 22. So I absolutely, feel obliged. We're going to go see Bruce Springsteen tomorrow. So,
that's awesome.
It really is. So we're making that little trek, and I know that we're going to be hearing a lot of music that he loves on the way up there. But it's interesting that your producer gravitated to something that I've always felt about you but maybe could not articulate. You have a part of you that is, there is an innate sweetness, but there's also a tendency or a hunger for a listener's ear in you to want to hear the ethereal side of Grace Kelly. Mm. And he understood that. So,
yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That's really cool to hear you say. Yeah, that's interesting to hear you say, and also hear you say that word, and that's something that you couldn't quite, put into words, but that's actually exactly the word that I would use, ethereal. And kind of the interesting thing about working with producers, because Stuart Levine, he doesn't make beats. He's in the room. He's like, okay, sing that differently. Like, play it like this. Let's add bass here. But Sonny, his son, is the one who's literally, I'm working with him in Pro Tools, and I'm playing the keys, and he's adding the reverb and all of that. So his sound very much gets stamped on it as well, which I would say that it's got a very chill, dreamy California vibe to it as well. But I'm really glad that you picked up on the word ethereal, because that's absolutely how I've been talking about it as well. There's this dreamy, ethereal feeling to it.
It does, and it actually reminds me of from years past now, because some of our roots are in Ireland, it reminds me of some Irish Gaelic music that we've heard. And this is just after hearing these two songs that you sent me this morning. Ooh, so I can't wait to hear the rest of this, because people, when they hear this, Grace, they're going to have an open mouth.
Wow, thank you, Trish. That means so much, because, as you know, it's like the tracks haven't gotten there out to people. It's not commercially released, and so to hear you hear it and say that is so exciting for me. I can't wait to have people listen to it and hear it. And the people on my Kickstarter will get access to it first.
Oh, yay! Oh, yes! Oh, so let's just dive into that, and then we'll play a track. Yeah, so tell me, how are you excited about the response so far for the Kickstarter?
I got to tell you, I am so excited. I mean, it's been 2 days. I believe this is the third day, and we've already raised over $6,000. And it's just, my jaw is like, it's on the ground. And
wow,
it's a big goal that I have. I have a $50,000 goal to reach in, it's going to be ended by June 9th. And, you know, for people listening, they might think, wow, $50,000, that's a lot of money. And it sure is a chunk of money, but it doesn't go to just the music, because the music's done. It goes to all the after things to help people hear the music. It goes to promotion, it goes to radio promotion, mixing, mastering, music videos. And when we added up all the costs and saw how much that was going to cost, because up to now we've been doing it on my family business, Paz, it's the bare minimum of what we will need. And my company will also be putting in money. And we're really trying to step up our game. I mean, in the past, I've released 8 CDs, and we've really done our best to promote them, and we have them at gigs, but we've never taken the jump to hire an A-list PR publicist who can do jazz and outside of jazz and really give it the right push on radio. And I feel like we have I have music that I'm excited about. I have great people who've been working on it with me, and it really deserves to have a chance to get out there to the world. So that's why I've decided to do this Kickstarter now. It has been an amazing feeling to be clicking on my Kickstarter, and I have access to see all of the people who have been donating to me. And I write each person a thank you message back, and I just get filled with this feeling of gratitude every time I see a donation and the number, because that means to me, even more so than I'm excited for you and I like the music, it means I believe in you. That's what people have been messaging me, and it's just like overwhelming.
Well, you know, and you said the magic word there, gratitude, because in everything that we have read, especially since The Secret came out, that is...
Yes, I love that book.
I do too. I do too. And it's a key to everything. And my son gave me the Rhonda Byrne book, The Magic. Oh, my God.
That's the one I'm reading right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm reading it right now. And my mom has been doing it. I just sent it to my best friend. It's amazing.
It is, because you have to write notes. It will not let you off the hook, and that's great, because whenever you write these things down, people don't understand that when you enumerate what your blessings are and what you should be grateful for, they compound themselves.
They do. And Trish,
yes.
I just know it's funny that you say The Secret and The Magic Book, but I knew before you even said that you are very tapped into gratitude, because just talking to you, and every time I look forward to it, because you are just such a positive person, and I literally feel good vibes every time we talk. It's
contagious. Bless your heart. Oh, well, look, you know, the thing is, Grace, that you have found along the way, and actually you were raised this way as well, when you find people who have good motivations, you gravitate to them and you attract more of them. And that's the thing. It's hard for people like us to imagine folks who are living who don't have good intentions. We stay away from them, and we have a filter to be able to determine who they are. So
yes, absolutely.
Yes, and look at what's happening to you. You're an absolute magnet for these people. Huey Lewis loves you, and he turns the love around and spreads it to Stuart.
Yes.
And, man, it's just the best thing that has happened to you for a while, because there's nothing like people who get you.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And now expanding the team of people who get me. And I think the exciting thing about it all is I've never had you know, I've never had my schedule of this is what I'm going to do in 2 years and the people I want to go to. I have my overall dreams and things that I'd love to do one day, but just the organic nature of meeting Huey and him introducing to me to Stuart, I also have to just trust that I'm on this path that's just kind of moving and the right people are coming in at the right time, and now reaching out to other people for this Kickstarter. It's, again, an organic process, and it's been exciting to see people jumping on board and, again, writing messages to me being like, wow, we're so excited. I mean, it's I was thinking the other day how if I wasn't a musician, I think I'd like to just be a person part of a foundation who gets to write the thank you notes. It feels so good.
You don't know how much that touches people. You know, Princess Diana used to write, she actually used to get cards. She was very thoughtful about this. Whenever someone gave her a gift, however simple that was, they got a handwritten note a day or two after the gift was delivered.
Wow. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
That's why people loved her so much, because she felt very deeply that people needed that special connection to her. And, oh, my God, that made all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And taking the time to do that for her.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, there's so much to say to you and about you. I'm just so thrilled that you're doing this. Oh, here's one of the things I want to interject before we get to, in your choice,
yes.
I Want to Know or Touched by an Angel. Here's one of the facets of your fascination and why people love you. Grace, I can't tell you enough how those of us who are older women looking at younger women coming up who play, and you're multi-instrumental. You play not only saxophone, but piano and clarinet as well, and you are bold. Your decisions have been bold as a musician. This means everything to those of us, especially the people that I know, like Ellen Sealing in San Francisco, who she looks for young women like you so she can hold you up as an example to those that she teaches. What you are doing is giving a gift to the world in ways that you maybe don't understand yet because it comes so naturally to you.
Well, thank you. That's so nice to hear. And when I'm playing live concerts and I see young girls come up to me after the show and they say, I usually know before they even say it, I say, you play saxophone, don't you? And they're like, yes. And it's so exciting to see their eyes light up and, you know, for them to get to talk to me and just get to see my performance and my example. And I've had some kids who've just said, you know, I want to do what you do, and getting to work at workshops and teach clinics all around for university students and for younger. It's exciting to see all of the students light up, and it's really exciting for me to see young girls who are seeing what I'm doing, and I'm seeing more and more saxophonist, trumpet, female players, much more than when I was 10, 11, 12, which wasn't too long ago, but it's really exciting because I used to be in some of these programs and I'd be the only girl with 14 guys. And I think that now those numbers are increasing for girls, which is fantastic.
Now all we have to concern ourselves with is making sure those young women and then grown women have an opportunity to play in these all-boys clubs, which is another show entirely, Grace.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is.
Ooh, man, we don't want to get started about that.
No, it's a big topic.
Oh, golly, is it ever? Well, listen, tell us the honest-to-goodness name of the forthcoming project, and let's play a track.
Yes. Okay, so the upcoming project is called Working for the Dreamers. It's the new EP. And why don't we play that track? It's called Working for the Dreamers. It's labeled for you as I want to know, but it's called Working
okay.
Genius.
Okay, and thank you for clarifying that.
Sorry.
This is a wonderful track. I want folks to know if they're doing something right now, I know you're usually multitasking, stop what you're doing, have that little beverage at this moment, and listen to this song from Grace Kelly, our guest on Hybrid Jazz. Here we go.
Only time will tell our story. Try to hold it as it slips away. Take your half for God and glory. Save it for a sunny day. I've been working for the dreamers. I'm in love, get us by. I've been searching for
global. Oh my God, that is so choice. That's perfect for you. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Listen, Grace, I have to tell you that Beach from California and Wes from Germany are listening and they love you. And Beach said,
hi.
Grace is a delight. I said, she is a human percolator of little spurts of joy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you. I love that. I might have to just quote him on that.
Oh my gosh. So good to know that you are in good hands. I mean, and the fact is that it's so clear, and I love this when this happens, because Grace, you know through the years of working with different people, sometimes when you work with people who are much older, you can tell when those professionals view you as an equal. And I felt it.
Yeah. It's the ultimate compliment, definitely. And,
yeah.
And there's so much wisdom that's coming from them as well. I mean, every time I'm hanging out with Stuart, it's just amazing stories. It's I'm just trying to take everything in and write things down, you know. Same with hanging out with Phil Woods and Lee Konitz. I mean, it's there's so many years of wisdom and experience.
But then look at what you give them. You give them a renewed sense of energy and purpose because they get reminded of what it was that propelled them into music. They see in you someone that they used to be and can be again. So
yeah,
don't diminish
that. Absolutely. That's exciting too. I mean, Stuart is basically, he made so many records over the years and worked with a lot of English artists and had big gold records. And after a while, a few years ago, he kind of just said he was retiring. He wasn't working with anyone else. So he tells me, "You took me out of retirement." He said, "I only do the things that I absolutely want to do." And he said, "There hasn't been any musical artists that I've wanted to be part of recently until what we're doing now." So that was really exciting.
Oh, wow, that is. Oh, my gosh. So he's probably really pumped about this. And you know what? Don't be surprised that his contemporaries that he has known through the years, I have no doubt that you're going to get all that you need for this Kickstarter and beyond. No doubt.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you, Trish. I'm excited, and I know that I can count on my fans and friends and hopefully bring a bunch of new people in. It's exciting. It's daunting. I was so nervous about it before I launched it because I've never asked for help like this. And I've been so blessed to have fans come to shows and show so much support, but I've never asked for any financial help. And to be quite honest, my family company has been funding everything from these CDs to making up tour expenses. You know, if there's extra nights of hotel and travel, we're making up those costs. So that's the reason our pockets are kind of, they're a bit spent. And so we realized that we needed to ask other people. But asking other people for their money is not, for me, it doesn't feel super comfortable. And then I think about, though, wait a minute. It's asking them even more for their money, not so much, more importantly than their money, is for their support, and also they're getting amazing gifts in return that you can't get anywhere else. So that I'm really excited about, and I think people are excited about too.
Oh, for sure. And look, it's not that the win-win situation here is that people don't need to feel pressured to send a lot of money. If a whole bunch
Absolutely.
Of people sent like $5 or $10, whoa, no problem. You'd have
all
that lift.
The difference. It makes
yes.
all the difference. Anything. I mean, donations start at $1, and it's so true. Just by them coming on board, and if people donate, you know, whatever they can, it all adds up, which is what's great about it.
Oh, it is. And as you said, because I know this is important to you, you like the idea of people sharing in this process because it's a partnership now, you know?
It is. That's so exciting to me. It's like, you know, now it's not just my project. It's people get to come on board and say, we were part of it. And I'm so excited to see, you know, the fans at live shows, and they'll come up to me and I'll know their names and we can say, oh, you were part of my Kickstarter. And it's this family. And I was just thinking about it the other day, how Kickstarter becomes much more than an individual thing. It's a great opportunity for it to become a community. And I just think that idea is so fantastic. And to be able to have a platform in today's world that can let us do that is just incredible.
So, okay, now the idea to further compound the communication that we had earlier today about someday there being a tribute album to Grace Kelly. Now, We've got this sea of faces that are helping you and will help you with this Kickstarter program. So you have all of them in the background, and you're in the foreground, and you're all like, you look kind of, well, ethereal for sure. And then you also look kind of saintly. And everybody's in the background, and the name of the album is Saved by Grace.
Oh, gosh, I love that so much. I love it.
Oh. I think that is a fantastic idea.
It's got to happen, because look at all the music. Isn't it astounding when you think about all the music that you have allowed us to hear through the years now? Wild, isn't
it? It's pretty amazing. I mean, I never thought that this was going to be my career. From a young girl, I loved playing music, but it's really snowballed on its own to become what it's become, and I am so grateful to find something that I love to do and get to do it every day. And I started recording when I was 12 years old, and it's a lot of music that I've produced. It really is something to kind of look back and hear it and be, wow.
And wasn't the situation that, and you certainly can correct me if I'm wrong, but actually, did somebody have to twist your arm a little bit in order for you to do this initially? I mean,
Yeah? Yeah, well, my very first music teacher in public schools, his name is Ken Berman. He noticed that I had a musical talent from an early age. In kindergarten, he had me sing at school assemblies, and he'd stay after school to work with me. He played piano. So he knew that I had a musical talent, and he's the one who first set me up with my first saxophone teacher. And he left teaching when I was, oh gosh, maybe like 10 or 11. And I remember he came back to visit, and he had dinner with my parents, and I played him, I was 12 years old at this point, I played him songs I'd been writing, and I sang for him, I played piano, I played saxophone, and he said that night to me, Grace, you have to record. You have to record your songs and what you're doing. And I said, no, wait, Mr. Berman, like, recording is for older people. I have no idea how to do that. And so then he went to my dad and said, look, she has to do this. I want her to be able to listen back to what she was doing at 12 years old when she's 40. And he said, it's just about documenting what she's doing. So he convinced my dad. He said, I'll play on it. And my dad set it all up, but I was totally clueless. Like, how do I do that? And why would I do that? You know?
Wow. That's so beautiful that somebody had faith in you that early. Wow. Did he actually say to your dad, I want Grace to hear this when she's 40 so she can document?
That was his whole reasoning. Yeah. He said she needs to have this as a documentation, because at that point, like, you know, nobody was talking about a career. He was the first one who even brought up recording. And so originally it was just going to be a 3-song demo, but it turned into a CD because my parents said, well, you have these amazing players here, and you've been working on In Walked Bud. Let's play that. So, yeah, that's exactly what he said. And I've been very blessed to have amazing teachers through the years. I mean, I've only been surrounded by incredible teachers, and that means everything. A good teacher really does mean everything.
Well, I have a special place in my heart for someone who gave this fabulous quote in relationship to you. And I love the man not only for his musicianship, but probably, and this is only speculation, what the man experienced when he was married to Emily Remler. I love Monty Alexander. Love him.
Me too. Oh, isn't he incredible?
He really is, and this spirit of him is a little hard to define, but when he pours out his gratitude about somebody else the way he did about you, because he said, Grace is not an artist for jazz lovers only, but one for the whole world. He was a visionary saying that, wasn't he, Grace?
Yeah, and when he wrote me that email and he put that text in it, I was just like, I was completely floored. Monty is one of my favorite musicians. He recorded with me on an album I did with Phil Woods. And there's these wonderful folks in Maryland who have a Monty Alexander Jazz Festival. It's only been going on for a few years. And Monty got to pick his opening act, and he brought me and my band for a couple years, and then he would play. And he's become a great friend. And talk about somebody who has so much joy in his music. And personally, I mean, his shows, seeing his shows has been some of my absolute favorites. And that was a very, very beautiful quote that he gave to me.
He's got a particular kind of tenderness, and I think that sometimes people become tender when they have experienced such extraordinary pain, as I know he has.
Oh, I know.
Oh, see, he's able to appreciate that much better because he's so appreciative and grateful for every moment that he has. So when he sees something
absolutely.
In you like that, that's authentic. Phew!
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm into that.
Well, I have to tell you that Pietro Croce from Italy is with us in the chat room. Uh-huh.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I love this. Wow.
Isn't that cool? And Pietro,
so cool.
You know what? He has not come to the chat room a whole lot, but you're here today, and that's why he's here.
Well, hello. That's so exciting.
It is. And Yolanda Bell is here from California, and our lovely BJ White from Southern California. And so we've got a few different nations represented, which is wonderful.
That's so great. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Well, let's let them listen to this second track. Can we do that?
Absolutely, yeah.
So
this one is called Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
And I was inspired by... It's funny, I wrote the song kind of about two different people. Half of it's kind of written about my boyfriend now, and half of it's written about another mentor in music for me, Frank Morgan, who's an incredible alto saxophonist. He was actually a protege of Charlie Parker.
Oh,
and
wow.
We could get into this later, but actually the documentary that I'm part of, it's his story, is getting debuted at the LA Film Festival next month, which is very exciting. And... yeah, that's the new news. So I wrote it about two of them, and I was also reading some a very inspirational book at that time as well, and that's kind of how the song came to life.
Well, the lyrical content of this song makes one wonder, so I'm glad that you explained a little bit beforehand. it's really, it makes anyone who knows you go, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, right.
I'm really glad you explained that. And we'll get to talk about, if we can, if you have the time, after the song. You've got a couple of different documentaries that feature you or you having touched the documentaries in some way. And that's really fascinating as well. So. Grace Kelly here with us on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Touched by an Angel from her forthcoming EP.
Here alive.
Some people are going to get a little ticked off at me when I say this, but it doesn't matter to me because when you get to be of a certain age, Grace, you don't care. Here's the thing. So many who have expanded their musical repertoire, folks who have been involved in jazz and are leaning to the contemporary side, the smooth side, if you will, they have taken those hand claps and have run with it into the ground.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
But here's what is the beauty of that song here. That lays down a groove and shows your soulful side, which is so monumental, and allows you to feel this vibe in a different way of that beat being underneath. It's so powerful. Oh, my God, there's a lot happening in that song.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll pass that on to Sonny, too. He did a great job creating the groove behind it.
Oh, it's such a different, I talk to my son about this all the time. If folks could only think out of the box and not go to the same old formula, if they could only find a different way of expressing that, and Sonny did, and you did, it's beautiful.
Well, thank you, Trish. Thank you so much.
Yeah, boy, I'm really picky when it comes to music.
I know what you mean, though. It is... You know, you hear a lot of things that do kind of, they have the same production going on, or an overdoing of hand claps. And, you know, we all love hand claps, but I do think it's good when things are tasteful. Definitely.
Well, you know, if if you don't lose sight, if it's an embellishment in order to enhance the song, but if it's front and center so that everything else is a distraction, not good.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all to serve the purpose of the song, definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and of course, those of us who remember the TV show, you know what? This is one of those songs. It could be about a human love, but it's also a spiritual love involved here, too. That's what my thinking process is.
It's actually, absolutely, that's totally what it is. It came from both of those places for me. I mean, Frank Morgan's passed on now. It's been a few years, so I was thinking about that and also thinking about the spiritual side of it. And it's funny, somebody had mentioned the TV show Touched by an Angel. They're like, oh, there was a TV show. I didn't even know about it. But
really?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's a
oh, my God.
Now I know it was a very popular show.
It really was, and one of the actresses that was in it was Roma Downey, who is producer of these very Christian-oriented, extremely successful TV and films on Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes. Her husband is one of the big producers on CBS, who produces the Survivor show.
Oh, no kidding! That's wild.
Yeah, so they have a lot of money and they do things right. So now, hey, if I were you, I would just make sure Roma, Downey, and Mark know about this song.
That's a good idea. I'm gonna make a note of that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. They are very generous people.
I love it.
That was too much of a mischievous laugh from both of us.
right.
So tell me about the affiliation with these documentaries, because anything that we can find that has a Grace Kelly imprimatur on it, we want it.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. So this documentary has been... this documentary about Frank Morgan, it's called Sounds of Redemption. And what's very interesting about his story is the reason why people might not know about Frank as much as they should is because he spent 30 years in and out of San Quentin prison due to drugs throughout his career. And I met him in the last 6 months where he was performing a lot and he was clean and all of that, and he's just the most beautiful person. But that's what his documentary is about. And it's executive produced by the best-selling author Michael Connelly, who writes these incredible drama, thriller books, everything from Harry Bosch to The Lincoln Lawyer, which was made into a movie with Matthew McConaughey. And so it's been really exciting getting to know Michael. Actually, this was very exciting. Michael put my name into one of his books called The Black Box. Because his character, Harry Bosch, loves jazz. So if you read that book, you'll read my name in it. And it's so funny. I've gotten fans saying to me, did you know you're in a Michael Connelly book?
That's awesome.
He's very exciting. And he is just an amazing person. He loves Frank's music. And it's exciting for Michael and all of us because this film is getting debuted at the LA Film Festival next month. And it's up for the category of best documentary. And I'm also doing a concert at the Grammy Museum during that time period with Ron Carter, George Cables. Well, originally in the documentary, it's myself, Ron Carter, George Cables, Delphia Marcellus, who is also narrating it, Mark Gross, and Smitty Smith. We're still figuring out the rest of the band and who can make it out. So what's really cool about the documentary is story of Frank's life, then there's footage of us performing at San Quentin Prison in front of the inmates, and then, you know, different clips of the music. It's so powerful. I saw the debut for Artists and Crew recently, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. It was just amazing. It's so well
done.
That
is unbelievable. And did you say Ron Carter? Did you say Ron Carter?
Yeah, it was incredible working with Ron Carter. Yeah, it was just amazing working with him. Yeah, he's, man, you know, it's Ron Carter.
Listen,
I've had Ron Carter on this show. And let me tell you, oh, yes, Ron is quite precise in his view of the world and his opinions. So if you got to play with him, wow, that's really saying something. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Yeah, no, it was really something. But the good thing is when the documentary does come out to the general public, everyone will be able to see it. And it was very interesting hanging out with him because, yeah, he seems to be a man of very few words, but very precise about what he says.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a lot under, you know, there's a lot of wisdom and the little words that he says.
Well,
at least
you know, this is a man, you know, I'm very sensitive about this because I am from the generation that remembers, but in no way had I the experience that Ron had. You can imagine, Grace, because you have the sensitivity to get this, but to be a black man in America during the time of segregation and being able to sell out places and play with Miles, but you couldn't stay in the hotels. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So for this man to have emerged as one of our legends who is able to speak so articulately about those times and not to have fallen victim to the depression that was, God, so many fell into because of those times.
Yes,
wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Man. And then Janice Rochelle Littlejohn, tell us about that too.
Yeah, so it's been really nice getting to know Janice. She originally approached me because she's working on this documentary called But Can She Play, which is all focused on female jazz musicians. And I did a little interview with her beforehand, and I think she's filming a gig of mine coming up. And it's been really exciting watching her. And I haven't seen the film yet, but I've just, you know, I've watched them on Facebook and seeing how everything's been progressing. And I know she's interviewed a ton of female musicians, so I'm very excited to see what the final product will be and what a beautiful message it is and getting all of these badass, you know, female musicians together.
Yes. Oh, badass for sure. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you know what? The timing is right because we've been hearing about this for a while, but Grace, the time is truly right for this now. So whatever we can do to shine a light on that, that's just awesome. You have a golden future for the next several months with this young lady. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited.
Oh, my God, I am too. So where is the definitive source where we can find Kickstarter and support you?
Absolutely. So people can find it on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GraceKellyMusic. They can find it on my website, which is www.GraceKellyMusic.com. It's on my Twitter as well. It's really all over. And if you go to just Kickstarter.com and type in Grace Kelly, it will show up.
It definitely will. And I must tell folks who might not know, if you don't type in Grace Kelly Music, it will take you to the blonde actress from the 50s and 60s. So,
yes, it will.
Just know that ahead of time. You have to go to Grace Kelly Saxophone if you're Googling or Grace Kelly Music. So.
Right, exactly.
You are something, and I just love having you whenever you have the opportunity on the show. I love it.
Thank you so much, Trish, and I want to thank you for all of your support. It really means quite a lot to me, and I really love talking to you.
Well,
it just puts me in such a good mood today, too.
Oh, good.
An extra
good
mood.
Oh, I'm so glad. The human percolator is percolating even more. This is awesome.
Yes.
Well, you know what? The show, when it ends at next couple of hours, it will immediately go into archive mode, Grace. So anybody can hear the interview at the top of the show. Even if folks, you know, we all live in this ADD, ADHD world where people don't want to wait.
Yeah.
all they have to do is get the link, and they'll hear you at the top of the show. So there will be many, many gifts coming to that Kickstarter program.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I hope you and your son have a fabulous time watching Springsteen.
Oh.
Happy belated Mother's Day to you and all of the moms listening.
Oh, that's so sweet. And happy Mother's Day to your mom. She is beautiful. She's beautiful.
Oh, she is. She's the best. I love my mom.
I'm so glad you do. It's so healthy to hear somebody say that. Well, listen. Oh, I know. I mean, your parents have been so supportive. That's everything, isn't it? It's everything.
It is. It's everything. It really is.
Oh, and to have it ongoing and to have the kind of unconditional love that comes along with that, it's you get continually blessed, and you're just going to have that magnify itself. You know that, Grace, over and over.
They are, yeah, they definitely are my number one fans, and I'm very lucky that, you know, in moments, if I feel down or anything, it's always my parents who are the first cheerleaders up with me, and they're just always supporting me no matter what, through whatever, so I'm very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good golly. I'm going to end the time here with Live at Scholars, if you don't mind, because it feels like summertime here. Is that cool with you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It feels like summertime here, too.
I'll betcha. What's the temperature there?
Oh, gosh, it's in the 80s. And I'm on the west side of L.A., so that means on the east side it's probably in the 100s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is definitely summer.
Well, you're going to have a hotter summer than usual because of all these excellent things happening. So I'm just going to take a big breath and wish as I exhale that the next time I talk to you, there's going to be time to talk to you, Grace.
Oh, yes. Well, there will always be time for us to talk. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thank you, Grace. And Godspeed. It's going to be a real cool journey, you'll see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Grace Kelly. Oh, my gosh. Let's do it. Let's get into this big, beautiful vibe from Live at Scholars Summertime on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back.
Thank you. That's Pete McCann, Zach Brown, Mark Blocker, Jason Palmer, Chantel Sterling, Jamie Witt. My name is Grace Kelly. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Eric Law. How about it for Eric on cello?
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Oh, I'm a
Just love that retooling of the Bruce Springsteen song, I'm on Fire. That is the incredible voice of Sophie Millman. Such a fascinating girl. And I put the word out earlier today on Twitter, Sophie, where are you? Because we haven't heard from her in a while. And look, the jazz world needs her so much. She is an absolute treasure in so many circles. Originally from Russia, spent her childhood in Israel, now living a comfortable life in Canada. She is married to not only a musician, but an entertainment, etc. lawyer, who has a wonderful reputation. And I guess that things are so good and he is so busy that Sophie spends a lot of time doing what needs to be done in his world, but he is so immersed in her world that he has funded the projects, past few of them, for Sophie, and showcasing her monumentally beautiful voice. Phew, I'm on fire. From Take Love Easy from 2009, there was a CD in 2011 in the moonlight, but past couple of years, the last notation I saw from her is via Twitter, and she was talking about how much she loves Gregory Porter. So I'm thinking, well, I love Gregory Porter too, but Sophie, we love you. So where are you? So there you go. Cindy Bradley, Riverside Jive, and Cindy would be very happy to know that our SoCal gal, Beach, knew instantaneously who was playing that song, because Bride says that Cindy has a distinctive sound. She does, doesn't she? She and that trumpet are like one. Forget about Dan, her husband. She and that trumpet are like one unit. So amazing what she's able to do. I can't wait to hear what Bliss sounds like. Actually, let me qualify that remark. I've heard Bliss a few times, but actually, I'm speaking of her CD, and that's what the name of it is, Bliss. That's coming out on the 27th. Can't wait. If you want to see where Cindy is playing, you go to cindybradley.com and find out. Riverside Jive is the name of that debut track from Bliss. So I know that you can find that in multiple places, and Cindy will tell you where. Probably more likely on her Facebook page than the website. Got a little catching up to do on the website, but I know that once you see the new picture, if you haven't seen this, one of the best professional photos I have seen, Cindy's new picture that is going to be the album jacket, I guess, of Bliss. Oh, she looks fabulous. Great job all the way around. We also heard from Grace Kelly, and that was her latest album, Live at Sculler's, Summertime. And wasn't that a little bit of Shaft thrown in with that doo-wah guitar in the midst of that 8-minute song? I love it. Grace's new EP is coming out. And again, if you go to, and let's make sure that we get this right, because I always have to double check myself. I think it's obsessive compulsive. I think it is. It's like checking the burners before we leave the house. We always have to make sure that nothing's on the stove. And my son tells me, and this is funny that he's telling me this, but no, the burners aren't on. You want to check anyway, though. Yes. GraceKellyMusic.com is where you find out information about where to participate, how to participate, and also her Facebook page. So let's get to more music, shall we? And I'm getting to the music in a little bit of a hurry because I wasn't sure this was going to happen today, but one of the most outstanding keyboardists on the planet will be joining us for about 20 minutes or so, Federico Gonzalez Pena. If you look up Marcus Miller, if you look up Maxwell, if you look up Michele Indeghiocello, you will see the work that Federico has done with all of those artists and many more. Came to the USA from Argentina when he was 18 and has not stopped since. We'll be playing a track that features Federico, one of the most glorious tracks ever. That will be coming up for you while we're talking to him. In the meantime, I thought it would be a good idea to honor our friend Najee. So much is happening to him recently. And this is the second single from Morning After, A Musical Love Journey. If you have not heard Rendezvous yet, please feast your ears. Najee, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back.
Hybrid Jazz. Oh, gracious. Isn't that nice? Woo! Who don't love the sunshine? Everybody love the sunshine, right? Oh, of course. Come on now. Man, I'm serious looking out the window here because I'm blessed to be able to do this show from my big old kitchen. And I've got a sliding glass door in the back and an enclosed yard. The sun is shining so brightly. And the trees are just swaying. It's just so nice. It kind of masks the whole notion of workers in the front of the house tearing up the sidewalk. The construction is ongoing here. It's just unbelievable. But you know what? Let's just be grateful for the construction. Everything is turning out real pretty for the summertime, and you're going to have to put up with that little AOL insignia. And here's why, because I'm getting music now from Federico sending me music. Usually I wouldn't do this, but
I was not sure if he was going to come as a guest in the next hour, and now he's going to be here, so he's sending me music. So I'm multitasking while I'm doing the show with you. Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves the Sunshine from 1976. I had to play that song because my wonderful friend Ray Gaskins and I spoke earlier today. Yes, Mama Bear also on the phone while she's prepping the show from folks who want me to do them a favor. So Ray said, could you please tell folks that we're going to be at the Howard Theater in D.C. this Friday? Yes, Ray. What else can I do for you? Well, I have a little secret. Can you keep it? Yes, and I'll keep the secret from Ray. He's got some good news ahead. When the time is right, we'll announce that. But Howard Theater in D.C., this is one of those jumping venues now. Oh, boy, is it ever. The acts that are coming there, Reuben Studdard, Layla Hathaway, you've got a mix of blues and jazz and even rock ensembles there. Very, very cool. So now, along with Blues Alley and in Bethesda, Bethesda Blues and Jazz and Twins Jazz, another very cool venue. And that's another thing that Federico is going to talk about when he's on with us in the next 20 minutes or so. The venue that he's playing on Friday, and Friday's a big date for everybody. It's one of those new places that needs to get more buzz, not only because it's in Baltimore, and of course we're focusing on Baltimore while we're here, but also because other cities may want to pick up that torch and run with what they're doing. And Federico is going to explain that. We also heard from Greg Adams, Burma Road from Hidden Agenda back in the mid-90s. Such a cool sound, isn't it? And East Bay Soul, in case you don't know this, I'm going to give you the roster. Of course, eastbaysoul.com has the whole lineup. But just to give you, so you know, in early June, they're going to start to get into the groove. They're going to be in Hollywood, Seal Beach, then fly to the East Coast, Boston, Reading, PA, Annapolis, Maryland. We'll see them at Ram's Head on the 15th of June. Then they're going to go back to Seattle, San Francisco, Oakland, and a real special event in September. Greg is pumped. Andrea is pumped because they both know they're going to get great seafood when they come to Maryland. And we're figuring out, as T and I move to Florida, where in Florida they can go when East Bay Soul does their tour next year. Okay. Yeah. And we're hoping to get Daryl Walker on the show before things start to get too thick as far as this touring schedule is concerned. Hopefully we'll do that. We also heard Najee. NajeeMusic.com has the information about where he's going to be. Najee has a pretty hot date in Philly. This is going to be on the 28th with Jeff Bradshaw on trombone. Listen, Jeff has a CD out called Bon Appetit. Two discs, little platters to serve up for you. But see, it's trombone, so it's Bon Appetit. Isn't he clever? So Najee is going to be playing with Jeff Bradshaw, and I think that Robert Glasper just latched on to that gig too, so that's going to be really hot. NajeeMusic.com has more information. Rendezvous is what we heard from The Morning After, A Musical Love Journey. All right, we're going to dip into some more music. I wanted to play this. Let's see. And I know that everybody, and it's Mama, why is this particular day where I'm getting the phone calls and the messages? Oh! Let's see if we can get to this song. It's actually one of those songs that maybe we should have played before Mother's Day, but look, there was just so much happening, and there will be continually from now until whenever. And T, by the way, if he's listening to this live at his place of work on campus or in the archives, took me out to dinner and gave me a beautiful necklace. In the midst of his oral surgery, he
just took that little pain medication that the doctor gave him, and he took care of Mom. It was just so cool. So this song, Jerry Allen, from her wonderful Grand River Crossings, Motown and Motor City Inspirations. Beautiful song. One of the tunes that inspired her to do solo piano, and she's got a beautiful European solo piano tour coming up. This one by The Beatles about Mother Mary. Let It Be on Hybrid Jazz.
Wash it, babe.
Man, I'll tell you what, and I've said that expression a few times, you know I'm excited if I keep saying, I tell you what, because that's just the way she rolls, ladies and gentlemen. This CD, Fraction of Infinity, has been with me for several years now, given to me, actually, by Daoud Saeed, who does the intro music for the show, Hybrid Jazz. So, as it turns out, he and Mark Prince were frat buddies at Howard University, and Mark is this amazing drummer who is able to, like Grace Kelly, attract these beautiful people to him, amazing musicianship among the amazing artists that has worked with him, and especially what you just heard there on a song called, Are You Ready? Gratitude for Ma. Don't you love it? Mother's Day is always here with us on Hybrid Jazz. That was Federico Gonzalez Pena on the keyboard. Just beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And Gino Young is on this on a vocal. Greg Boyer, David Merlin Jones, Alvin White, DeAndre Schaefer, Michael Bowie. Yes, another guest that's been here on the show, but I wanted an outlet to showcase Federico's vast talent. I'm telling you, there it is again. It's just such it's such an honor to be able to give you that kind of talent and present folks to you. And this is the high for me. Sometimes I have to go out of my way to beckon these folks to come on the show. Sometimes they call me or write to me. It's getting to be that point. I love it because we are closing in on 107,000 listens, and that's pretty monumental. So Federico is going to be with us momentarily, yes, and I'll tell you what else we heard. I just had to pick up a paper. Devin Spear, right before that beautiful track from Mark Prince and Company, whew, on guitar, Devin, on djembe and vocals. Marcus Huber on bass on Lullaby, produced and engineered by Matthew Schell. This young man does an absolute plethora of different kinds of music, doesn't he? I love Devin Spear. I love that voice. It harkens back to that Sean Mullins song for me. I was trying to think of who gave me that vibe, and Sean Mullins gives me that kind of vibe. So Devin's got a new CD coming out, and we'll let you know as soon as we get it. We heard Jerry Allen, too. Amazing. Jerry Allen, among other situations recently, just got her honorary doctorate on May the 10th at Berkeley, along with Valerie Simpson and Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. Standing on the stage together. They got their honorary doctorates. Woo! Jerry, as mentioned before, is going to be doing a European tour to capitalize on the beautiful vibes that Grand River Crossing's Motown and Motor City inspirations gives all of us. So be looking forward to that. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do, since Federico is not with us yet. He gave me a song to play. Now, I believe, since we've been back and forth between the mail and Blog Talk Radio, the home studio screen now, for the past half hour, I believe this is Cassandra Wilson and Federico on piano. The Man I Love. And I have never heard this before. I'm just playing it on blind faith because I love Federico's work so much, and God knows Cassandra. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
Big
Gosh, I am so glad that I got a chance to play that track, because Cassandra Wilson knows more than most folks how important it is to have a collaborative effort. When you have that kind of level of musicianship around you, you want to show them off as much as possible. And such is the case with the brilliant piano that you heard there. This man, let me tell you, here's the deal about Federico Gonzalez Pena. When I first came to Maryland, actually a long time ago now, I had heard about him, This third time around coming back, this has been 10 years now, the buzz has become a roar because this man is based regionally but known all over the world. And I mean it when I say that Argentina still cries because he left there at the age of 18 and he has been touring the world ever since. Whatever he has done, whether it has been with Marcus Miller or Maxwell or Michelle Indeggio-Cello, whoever has been blessed to have him on the stage, the music has been that much more enhanced. Federico Gonzalez Pena, hey, how are you, sir?
Hey, Trish. How are you, Trish? How are you doing?
I am tickled. You know what? Nobody has made me work as hard as you have today.
Oh, stop.
No.
I know, right?
You have made me work because I have been back and forth going, oh, my God, he sent another track.
Oh.
So,
I know, right? You're juggling.
Juggling.
I am a juggler.
Multitasking my full head off. You are so pumped about this show on Friday night, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really looking forward to making some good music. And that's kind of why I sent you, you know, so many last-minute things, because I realize I'm a little hard to pigeonhole, so I just wanted to give you a little bit of variety of, you know, a couple, few different things to hopefully let the listeners check out what they might be in store for on this coming Friday.
Oh, yeah. And look, along those lines, we have to fill some folks in on the background. So fascinating.
Absolutely.
With you, because you, at a very young age, were studying classically, and that went on for several years, but you chafed at the notion of being so confined, didn't you?
Yeah. I would be studying my lessons, and then I would also, in the middle, I would kind of go, you know, it would be really cool if Chopin had gone here and done this on this part. My piano teacher. I had a great teacher, though. He was always very encouraging, and he always was like, yeah, that would, you know, he would always encourage that kind of playfulness, but at the same time gently kind of guiding me back to, you know, the notes on the page. So I always felt like, you know, I had a deep need to kind of create my own path, you know, and I felt, I still love classical music. Of course, the giants of music live in that world, as well as jazz and all music, really. So I just don't, you know, I don't put one over the other. But just for me personally, the path I felt that needed to include some self-discovery that maybe the classical world wasn't really going to provide for me, you know? That's it.
Well, you've just got, you're overflowing with a sense of music. And it's getting to the point, Federico, honestly, that in listening to certain artists where you are playing with them, I begin to see that you have your own rhythm. I can almost pick you out now, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's a passion that you have in playing. What is it that you were listening to in Argentina when you were coming up? What kinds of music did they have for you that sort of piqued your interest?
That's a great question. The first music that I was ever turned on to was candombe, the indigenous music of my country of origin. I was actually born in Montevideo in Uruguay.
Mm.
And I left there when I was about 4 and a half, almost 5, and we moved to Argentina where I was raised. But candombe is African-based music that is very drum-based and has all kinds of different percussion instruments, and it's just incredible. And that was the first thing that I heard live. That was my first live music experience. I was probably about 2 years old, and we ended up following these guys all over my neighborhood. They were called the Murga. It's something that happens like on the weekends every Sunday. They just come through and they walk through the neighborhoods and they play this amazing music. And I followed them for my father. I got on my father's shoulder. We followed them for like, you know, 30 blocks all through these neighborhoods and stuff. So that was the initial seed. But then throughout my young life, I just, you know, I loved you know, when I was very young, I used to play drums a lot. I studied classical on the side, but I was always playing percussions and playing some drums. So I would play drums along to, like, Carlos Santana records, and I was into the whole symphonic rock thing, like Yes and Genesis and UK, a wonderful group called UK that very few people remember, with Eddie Jobson on keyboards and violin, and Alan Holsworth comes out of that group too. Just a lot of stuff like that. Then, you know, I got into, like, the Pat Metheny group and a lot of Brazilian music that my father used to listen to at the time, you know, Jobim and Milton Nascimento and just a rack of people, you know, very eclectic kind of different styles of music. I got into the funk at around 10 or 11 years old. I started checking out like Earth, Wind & Fire and people like that, Wild Cherry, you know, whatever would get to us, you know. Unfortunately, in Argentina at that time, you know, the market wasn't flooded. It wasn't, there wasn't the accessibility we have today, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
at that time, I just would kind of soak up whatever I could get my hands on. You know, the Studio 54 record was something that I was big on, and I used to listen to all the time. It was kind of disco, but I really loved a lot of the stuff on there. You know, I'm a fan of all that kind of music, that time period. David Foster, who wrote Got to Be Real, a lot of people don't know that. And I used to check that out, as well as the fusion stuff. There was a group called Nova it was very obscure.
I remember that group.
Yeah. They were very obscure. And, you know, Phil Collins guested on drums on a track, and Zakir Hussain and Percy Jones, who later on went to play bass with Brand X with Phil Collins. And Narada Michael Walden was the drummer in this band. And it was a band that really changed my life. When I was 9 years old, I bought the record because I loved the cover. You know, I used to buy records like, oh, this cover is dope. It's going to be great. And sure enough, I got home and it blew my mind. And it's really changed, it changed a lot for me musically. You know, they didn't understand that music existed. And it just struck such a chord with me. You know,
my God, you are just, you're bubbling over. I can't even believe or would comprehend that you would be restricted to one genre of music, because you just want to be able to express yourself in all different kinds of ways. And it's clear early on your interests were so varied. Now I understand why you were sending me all these tracks.
Exactly.
My gosh.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I'm trying. I'm not sure how much time do we have allotted for me for us to chat? Because I just don't want to bombard you with everything. If we have another minute, and I can just pace myself. You know, I feel like I'm just having a spasm attack over here.
Well, no, you're good. I had to play Gratitude from Ma from Mark Prince and Fraction of Infinity.
Oh, yeah.
Had to do that. Because
great tune.
Oh my God, start to finish, I mean, you are there. And of course, I just played the Cassandra song that you were featured on. And I have, usually when an artist visits, I have three songs. So I was able to get Setembro, Marcus Miller and
Setembro,
you.
Setembro, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yes.
That's great.
So,
you know,
we're relaxed. Go ahead.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that tune on Mark Prince's record, because the truth is that's a great record. We really, Mike Bowie played bass on that record, and the three of us really connected in a way that was really surprising, because we had been playing together for some time, but we had never gone into the studio together. And just the vibe that we were able to find in the studio was really something else. And,
it is, yes.
And I'm big on, like, the titles of songs. And so I remember that when we were rehearsing for that record, I asked Mark, you know, over and over again, like, okay, what's this tune about? You know, and he would have Quiet Thoroughfare, and I'm like, what is this song about? He's like, oh, that's a painting that my father did when I was a kid, and he called it Quiet Thoroughfare. It had this path, and he described the painting to me. All things that I find very useful, you know, when I'm playing, because they inform something about how I'm going to approach the music. And Gratitude was a song that he wrote for his mother.
Yes.
Just in gratitude for all that she had done for him and the way that she raised him and stuff. So we brought all that into the the tune. You know, we didn't want to make, he definitely mentioned he wanted to have a kind of a playful quality to the song. He didn't want it to be so serious. So you could hear it in the melody. You could definitely hear that
definitely.
There's a playfulness. And yet the spirit of gratitude, I think, does permeate the intention with which we were playing, you know. So it's interesting that you picked that particular song to play as one of our favorite songs from the record.
Well, here's the thing about you and Michael. I know Mark and Michael, and now I'm getting to know you, and you really are cut from the same cloth. In varying degrees, I pick up from all of you so strongly that there is not only this earthy connection, but there's this huge spiritual connection to music, and that can't help but translate. This is why your passion spills over when you're playing with somebody, because you just said it. You want to get that connectivity to somebody to be able to enhance what they're doing. You want to feel what they're feeling. That's a gift, Federico. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
It is a gift. And so I can't, you know, I say thank you, but I'm unwillingly, because I almost don't want to take credit for it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's almost like the way that you're born. We can't choose the bodies that we're given, the color of our eyes, and the different gifts that come with all that. You know, we can't really choose it. So it's hard for me to take credit for it, you know. But, yeah, I recognize the things you're talking about, and those are themes that I do find myself thinking about when it comes to the music, you know, over and over again, and also trying to impart that to the musicians that I work with, you know, especially the younger guys, you know, the importance of the intention of the music and the spirit and the connection that we need to have with one another, too, because music is something that is not happening in a vacuum. It's very much a social endeavor, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is another scenario that I know about you, because I've heard about you for so long. You are not the type of artist yourself, and I can't imagine you being with other artists who simply show up to play. There is a basis for the relationship that you have with other musicians, and when you find that kind of symmetry or the connection, the bond that you have, then you're able to produce this kind of magic over and over again. And look, the writing is on the wall for you. How did, you know, here, take us back. You're 18. You show up in the USA. What happened then?
Oh,
what happened?
That's the story.
Yeah.
What happened is I got basically, I always say dropped off, you know, because it doesn't seem like Temple Hills, Maryland is the stop that people would choose coming from another country, you know. But that's
right.
Where my stop was. I landed here in pretty much in the middle of Southeast / Temple Hills, Maryland. And I didn't know anybody. You know, I didn't know anybody. I had one last year to finish high school, and I was sort of just this kid playing a bunch of keyboards in my room in an apartment building that I lived in with my mom. And by happenstance, I met some cats at a Subway shop getting a sandwich who asked me, did I know any keyboard players? So I said that I played a little bit, and we got together, and I joined their band. They used to do covers and top 40 stuff and some funk stuff, and they were good. And we went to a recording session some months later. We went to a studio here in Southeast, and Michael Neal happened to be the engineer there, who's better known as Funky Nate from Rare Essence. So I got turned on to the go-go music while I was still in school. All the kids used to talk about it. I had no idea what they were saying. You know, it's like, what is go-go music, you know? So I thought I was up on all music, you know what I mean? So I came here and I found out that there was this very indigenous, local music that hadn't really, traveled outside of the boundaries of this area. And I was just floored with the power of the music, the social kind of tribal quality to it, because, you know, people might think, oh, yeah, it's obvious to go there to say it's tribal because it's got drums, but it's not the drums that make it. So to me, it's the whole vibe. Like, when you go to a go-go, the audience is as much a part of what's happening on stage as, you know, we musicians like to talk about that, that the audience is a part of what's happening and that the synergy with the audience. But very, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen very often. You know what I mean? It's, it's sort of hit or miss. In the best of times, it does go down, and that's what we're all looking for. But with go-go music, it's almost like a part of – it's endemic to that music, where the crowd is just in a constant mode of partying. People don't dance with one another as they do in a normal club setting. You know, you see people dancing by themselves. You see girls dancing with girls, little 10, 12-year-old girls dancing in a group of 12 of them. You know, it's a very communal experience, and I was just – really taken with it, and I sort of got into what we call Go-Go University and was in there for about 3 years playing with Essence, and I played with Lil Benny and the Masters, and I played very shortly with Chuck Brown, and sort of developed a lot of relationships with people that are in my life to this day. You know, I met Michelle. She used to play with a band called Prophecy, and they used to play right before us at Southeast Gardens and when I was with Essence, and so Mike Neal was like, man, you got to meet this shorty. She plays bass, and she's great. So I met her, and the rest is history. You know, it's kind of like that's how I made my path, you know, sort of from the bottom up. You know what I mean?
You know, I got to say something about Michelle. She's so amazing. I had to write to Gary Bartz yesterday and let him know that she was sharing some love on Twitter. She was telling everybody to listen to something by Gary Bartz, and he went, she's what? I said, yes. She's making sure that her followers on Twitter are listening to you. And he said, man, she is something else. So she must be a trip.
For sure.
I love that. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, her father is a great tenor man himself. And she, you know, grew up steeped in the sound of that music, and she loves jazz. And so it's not a big departure. You know, if you know her, you know that's not a big departure, but I guess, you know, Gary would be surprised maybe to hear that he's on her radar screen that in that way, you know what I mean?
Well, Gary's a different breed of cat anyway, so I think he gets her
true vibe.
You know, there's nobody like Michelle, that's for sure, and nobody like you, Federico. Honestly, you really do bring something, and without embarrassing you too much, honestly, whatever I have heard you on, if I thought about you being removed from the equation, anything wouldn't have been as good.
Oh, that's very kind of you. That's really
That's
kind
for sure.
Of you.
Honestly, because you just are so into the vibe that somebody may be trying to create, and then you create your own vibe, which is translates into your own style. What is it about this club that you're playing on Friday? It's called The Living Well, right?
That's right. Yeah, The Living Well. Marissa Stone started this thing. It's sort of like a kind of a holistic approach to living. They do, if I'm not mistaken, I was checking out their website, and I've been checking it out for a few months now. They have different kind of classes. They have cultural events. They do yoga classes. They have all kinds of nutrition experts that come and do things with them. It's sort of kind of a new approach. Maybe not so new, really. It's kind of like the way that we're all headed. You know what I mean? People are searching for something that's a little bit outside of the realm of mainstream. And more, I think a lot of us are being underserved by the mainstream. So this is a great answer to some of that void. And she's just put together a very interesting series that I believe she calls the Living Room Series, in which she just has you know, artists come and we'll do a set, and then we're probably going to do, we'll do like about an hour-long set or 45, 50 minutes, somewhere between 45 and an hour. And then there's, I think, about a 20, 25-minute period where the audience gets to interact with us, with the audience, and ask us questions. It's sort of like a little bit like the storytellers setup, like show they used to have. Yeah, so it's a little bit like that. And then from there, we play another set, and then that's it. That's the gig. But it's very interesting. They just had Vinx there prior to me doing it. You know, he's a good friend, so it was good to hear that he was doing it, and we were both happy that each other was doing it. So it's going to be really cool. I'm really looking forward to it. Plus, I'm playing with I'm leading my own trio, which I call the Emergence Trio. Sometimes I do it with four guys, and I call it the Emergence Quartet. I'm working on some music that I'm hopefully going to be releasing maybe early next year. Even if I get a chance to do it this year, that would be great. But hopefully at some point early next year, I'll be able to release something that represents the place where I'm in right now. And the guys joining me are beautiful, wonderful, fabulous musicians who just so happen to be also from Baltimore. It's going to be Quincy Phillips on drums, and he's been playing a lot with Roy Hargrove as of late, actually for the last 3 years plus. He's been in the Roy Hargrove Quintet and does just about everything that Roy does, you know, with his different configurations and stuff. And he's a wonderful musician who's also a really great piano player and composer. So Quincy Phillips is going to be with me, and a great young bass player by the name of Romir Mendez, who is on Alan Johnson's record.
He works
a lot with a lot of different people around town. And also elsewhere, he goes on the road a lot with. He's just been playing with Warren Wolf some, and so he's a great up and coming upright and electric player. So I'm blessed to have these cats along with me for the ride. And I don't know if you have the address, but it's 2443 North Charles Street in Baltimore.
Yes.
We play at 8 o'clock. No, we play at 7 o'clock, I believe.
7 o'clock,
so
yeah.
I'm trying to upgrade your chops as a juggler, and I just sent you yet another song that you can or that you can do whatever you will with. It's fine. I just wanted to send you an original, and this is one of the tunes that we will be playing on Friday. It's called 15, and it features a group we started called Gaia some years ago, which was myself and Gene Lake. Who was with me with Michelle all those years, and Gregoire also on harmonica. It's a tune of mine called 15 that I just sent you. And I just want you to enjoy that however you do. But it's great to be sitting here talking with you and sharing in this moment and trying to hopefully we're reaching some people that are also tired of being underserved by this you know, sort of greedy mentality that has taken over the mainstream, that believes that, you know, bubblegum and pop music are the only music that is the only music that exists on this planet, which I have no problem with it. You know, I love pop music. I love the more commercial stuff as well. I believe there's only two kinds of music, you know, good and bad. But it can't stop there, right? You know,
oh, no. Oh, you are preaching to the choir, because, look, Federico, we have never talked before now, but my intention has always been with this show. I want this show to be the prototype for a radio station, because mm-hmm. if we can get an amalgam of different kinds of all that is under the umbrella of jazz, et cetera, we can really turn some people on, especially young people who don't ordinarily know what this music is like. So
yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You got to provide the option, right? It's just there's so much music out there in these days. It's really difficult sometimes. But there is some beautiful music kind of right under our nose, you know, and it's just a matter of being able to turn over those stones and find what's there, you know, because I think it's important, because not just from a perspective of culture, but it just enriches your life, you know what I mean? To have music that you relate to, that you are attached to, that means something to you, it really does something. It just makes your quality of life that much better, you know?
Music is a gift. And you know what? Viewing it another way, if all that we hear on the radio is so confined to a few different styles, you know what that sends a signal to? Our young kids, it's going to send a signal that they can't be all that they can be creatively. So let's try to find a box so that we can be successful rather than express who we really are, which is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know?
It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. Hmm. And it's already happening. it's already happening, but our job, I mean, I've been playing with a lot of younger musicians lately, and I see it already happening. You know, sometimes we get into these debates about different things and different groups and different people that are doing music, and a lot of them say, you know, I find this predominant theme that a lot of them sort of excuse whatever it is as long as it's making money. It's like, you know, well, they're making money, they're working, and as though that's something to aspire to, and it is something to aspire to, but it just can't be void of a responsibility to really chase that which is your own vision and the thing that makes you tick. You can't just be doing this just to make money. There's plenty of that to go around, but those who have the talent should kind of try to elevate themselves and you know, at the same time, those around us that will come along for the ride, you know?
And thank God for the teachers. You had some wonderful mentors when you were very young to give you the impression that you could do this. You could create music, and what you were thinking and feeling was of some worth. That made all the difference in the world, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely did. It did make a difference. It did make a difference. As I grew into the music, I also came across a lot of musicians that were great influences, some musically and some also just ideologically as it relates to the music. You know, people that I consider friends and they're still in my life to this day, from whom I learned a great deal about that kind of ideology and commitment to the social aspect of it. You know, I always had this innate belief in the brotherhood of music and all of us that play music, and I feel a very strong bond and kinship with the cats that I've worked with in the past and the guys that I continue to come across, and that's something that's really dear to me. And so, yeah, I've been very lucky. You know, people like Wawa Watson, who did a lot of work on the Headhunters stuff with Herbie Hancock and countless other records. Papa Was a Rolling Stone, all the Marvin Gaye stuff. I mean, Wawa's trajectory and discography is pretty impressive and endless. He's a cat who has incredible experience, and we've become friends ages ago in the early 90s, and we always stay in touch, and people like that, you know, who have, you know, Stanley Clarke, when we toured together, we would stay up all night, see the sun come up, and he would tell me stories about when he was young and he was playing with Horace Silver, or when he was playing with, you know, with people like that. He told me a great story about how Art Blakey left him stranded in some airport overseas.
Know.
You know what I mean?
He loves to tell that story.
You know what I mean? It's just incredible. So you hear these things from these great masters, and you just realize that, yo, it's a thing. It's a cycle. It's a, you know what I mean? It's a thing that we all go through, some of the same similar things, and we forget that, you know, that, you know, because we look at Stanley as being who he is, but when he was a young buck and he was just coming up playing with Horace Silver, and Horace Silver wouldn't give him any solos, you know, and he told me the story about how one night he just took a solo, and Horace was looking up at him from the piano all mad, you know, but then the crowd went off, so he had to take it, you know what I mean? And you hear those things, and you're like, wow, it just blows your mind, you know, and it just really adds something. It adds a piece to the puzzle of who you are becoming, you know, because we are all always evolving into, you know, I heard somebody say something really deep one day and say, people don't really change, they just become more of who they really are, you know.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
Yeah,
wow,
that is
kind of deep. Well, just talking about Stanley, that's a Philadelphia boy, and I'm a Philadelphia girl, so I understand that
there
kind of boldness. I really do. Well, listen, let's do this. I am going to play this Septembro, sure that folks hear this. And then while that song is playing, I am going to download the other so that we can hear Federico on his
Sounds
own.
Beautiful. That's
all right.
Wonderful.
This is so cool. Federico Gonzalez Pena is with us today. This is something that you are going to remember long after the show ends on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
Todo con amor se puede.
my God. Oh, my God. Look, my body is here, but my head is somewhere in Rio, and Gretchen Parlato
exactly.
has a lot to do with that. And listen, my friend Pietro is in Italy, and he's listening in the chat room right now. He's going crazy. Federico.
Oh, that's so funny. That's great. You know, it's interesting. That track was – it's funny what you mentioned earlier. You know, when you were – when you said you didn't want to embarrass me, and I was embarrassed by what you said about my participation on records, you know, making a difference on the project and whatnot. And, you know, without getting into that, that particular track is actually an example of that a little bit, only because when I was playing with Marcus, I used to sometimes always play that song. You know, from time to time I would play that song, like on a string patch. You know, I would play Settembro, which is one of my favorite compositions by Ivan Lins. And and Marcus was like, yeah, I like Ivan Lins. He's dope, bro. We would talk about that. And I would just play it, so he kind of started learning it, you know. And then when it came time for him to do his record, he said, you know, I want to do a version of that song that, you know, that you like to play. But let's do it this way. You know, he wanted to include Gretchen. So, yeah, that's an example of living together, doing sound checks, you know what I mean? Like being on the road together all the time, we sort of started, you know, to vibe off of each other. And he kind
yes.
of picked up a little bit of that theme and invited Rubén Blades also to come and sing on it, you know, do the little, the kind of, the hook in Spanish. And Gretchen just did an amazing job on the track. They just came together really fast, you know. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's off of Marcus's last record, Renaissance. Yeah.
Yes, and I can imagine that you and Marcus have become like shock absorbers, musical shock absorbers for each other, because you both are so in tune to the necessary means of communication of music. It's not just secondary; it's a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're right.
Yeah, man.
He's definitely on that lane. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, he's it's just really when you think about the longevity of his career, and you don't necessarily think of Marcus Miller being in his mid-50s, but he is, and
absolutely.
He's been playing a long time. He looks like one of these timeless cats that you really can't pinpoint an age on.
No, you can't. I mean, he turned 50 in 08. No, a little later. I think it was 2009, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's going to be 55 this year.
Yeah, he's probably going to be 55, exactly. And when you think of all this stuff and the breadth of all that he's done is also, you know, it's very surprising to people. I mean, what you're talking about is old hat to me. I've seen so many people react to him the same way, like, oh, my God, he's only 55. Like, oh, my God. Because people feel like they've been listening to him forever, you know, which they have, you know.
Yes, they have.
Well,
and see.
He was really young
when he
started doing those records. Yeah.
Not to embarrass you further, but you think that Marcus Miller wants to be surrounded by mediocrity? I don't think so. Hence, you are working with Marcus Miller.
I tell you, the greatest thing about working with him has been wonderful, and it was a really beautiful time. But more than the fact that he opened certain doors to include me and have me be a part of other side projects that he did, like when he put together SMV with Stanley and Victor Wooten, and to invite me to come and be a part of that group. And then as of late, we did a thing, it was a couple of years ago, but it feels like yesterday. In 2011, we did a group called DMS, which was George Duke and Marcus and David Sanborn. And play all that music with those guys who have been such a part of my musical upbringing. And I used to spend countless hours listening to all those Sanborn records that Marcus produced, and listening to, you know, to George, and just to kind of, you know, be on the bus living with him and living the day to day and playing music all over the world. It's been an amazing blessing, and he made that happen. So I'm always going to be grateful to him for having had that opportunity, you know.
Oh yeah, it was just meant to be. That's for sure. You're supposed to be doing this while you walk this earth, and you're supposed to have met these amazing people who have fostered that journey. And here is your song. I know that this show will end promptly in 12 minutes or so. We are going to get to this song. This is your song, 15. That's okay with you. Okay.
Cool.
So why 15? Why the title, Federico?
That's great. It's funny. The song is in an odd time signature, and musicians are always going that route. They think that it's got some, you know, something to do with the time signature, but it doesn't. And it also isn't anything very deep about it. I do like titles that are enigmatic, though, because it does beg the question, right? It's like, what does 15 mean, you know? Basically, I was around 14 or 15 years old when I originally heard Lyle Mays and the Pat Metheny Group, and that was another big turning point for me, because with Lyle Mays, I felt a very strong kinship. You know, I already had been playing the piano for a long time, and I felt that here was a guy who I'd never heard before, but who definitely was coming from a very similar place from what I felt inside, you know. So I felt an instant kinship with him, and that whole vibe that they were playing and the style in which they were composing, which was very much influenced by the Brazilian stuff and by the South American vibe. Matter of fact, they had Naná Vasconcelos, who's from Brazil, who was a multi-instrumentalist on their group, and then they had Pedro Aznar, the great bass player from Argentina, who I grew up checking out in a rock group when I was a kid. So they very much were influenced by our stuff too, you know. So this is a great example of a sort of, you know, synergy or a symbiosis whereby, you know, some of the music from South America has influenced Pat and Lyle, and then in turn they influenced us as well coming up. And so I was about that age when I discovered them, and this song particularly has an air of that energy, of that time, of the essence that music represented for me. So that's why I called it 15.
I see. All right.
It's one of my wife's favorite tunes. So I love playing that song, and I just it seems to strike a chord with people every time I play it. So I figured it would be and we're definitely going to be playing it this coming Friday. At the Living Well Studio in Baltimore. So I felt it would be a nice way to say goodbye and to also, you know, thank you for having me. Thank you for sharing this moment, for allowing me to be a part of your show and getting a chance to talk some music and life with you. I really enjoy myself. And I look forward to when we get to sit down.
I really relish that opportunity too, Federico. You have an incredible amount of respect that has come your way for such a long time, and to be a respected musician in terms as yourself, that's another gift entirely. So you... Thank you. And you can either hang out. I know you'll be listening to the song anyway. Yes. So I'm not sure how much time we'll have afterwards, so we can say goodbye now. If there's a little time, I'll come back to you and say adios then.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Federico Gonzalez Pena, and here we go. I didn't label these because I've been doing this so quickly, so hopefully this is the one. Just beautiful. Oof, and less than 60 seconds to go. So, Federico, I know you're holding. That was just beautiful. Called 15. Federico Gonzalez Pena is going to be at the Living Well on North Charles in Baltimore this Friday. If you need to find out more particulars, contact me via Twitter or Facebook or altcwgal@aol.com, and I'll let you know all about it. Thank you to Federico for being here, to Grace Kelly for being here. We'll see you next Tuesday. Jakeem Joyner is going to be with us. We're going to go see Bruce Springsteen tomorrow. Have a wonderful week and a great weekend. And we'll see you, God willing, please, next Tuesday here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks, Beach. Thanks, Yolanda. Thank you, Pietro. Thank you, Wes. And thank you to our guests for stopping by. God bless.